Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises, just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me on the due south wall of our state-of-the-art recording studio slash our bedroom is my lovely wife, my co-host, very talented artist, and just overall great gal, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Backseaters, we appreciate you.
We sure do.
We really do. Yep. Wherever you may be listening to this podcast, right now, you are in a dressing room at Ross. You
Ooh.
Are, yeah, because I tried on some new flannels this last week for the shoot that I did with Kev, which we'll talk about probably. And I wish I had AirPods.
That's nice.
I think a dressing room is a great time to have AirPods, especially if you're doing like a bigger outfit.
You're doing like a wardrobe revamp.
Yeah. You know, if you're looking at, you know, just like, oh man, I want to get some extra things and, you know, I got to get a bunch of new clothes, not just like one shirt. So if you're in a dressing room right now, not to be creepy, we're happy to be there with you. If you are at the dinner table with your children and too much sensory overload, if you are
not your best moment.
Checking in a guest at a hotel right now. If you're at work.
If you are a flight attendant on an airplane.
If you are a flight attendant, welcome. Please pause us and give that child that orange juice they want so bad.
Maybe you do like Instacart at the grocery store.
Yes.
So you are getting someone else's groceries.
Yeah. Maybe you are sitting in the Target pickup spot and
making you go do that with me.
In any second, you're going to be startled by the person knocking on your window.
Yeah. I keep doing Target pickups with you.
Yeah. You really do.
I sneak them in.
Well, yeah. Because yesterday we were like, hey, let's go get a coffee and like maybe like a lunch. And you're like, we get in the car and you're like, you got a Target pickup in you? And I was like, you trickster.
Sly dog.
You trickster. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. We really appreciate it.
We do.
I want to start off with an announcement for you guys. One, it's a twofold announcement. It's a time of transition.
Mm.
This is the last time we will be recording here in our state-of-the-art recording studio slash our bedroom, because starting next week, starting as in February 7th and 8th or whatever date those are, we will be recording in a new space. We have rented a space that we are renovating as a studio.
That's right, this week.
By we renovating, I mean Melissa will be and in there painting all week.
By renovating, I mean painting in between all my children's appointments.
And we are very excited that that means we will have the big thing that comes from that is an upgrade in video quality. So instead of me recording on a janky tripod on our iPhone and doing clips, we will have full video production. Full video episodes will be available on YouTube the day of the day the podcast releases, and in addition to more clips, because people like watching podcasts. And you know what? Instagram likes videos. So our podcast has been growing. Downloads have doubled since this time last year. We are so incredibly grateful and humbled by you. We have no marketing dollars behind us. We are not a part of a major network or a minor network
at all. We are not on a network.
We have no representation. This puppy is growing only because of you there in the dressing room. So thank you.
And I am thrilled to get on video at 38.
Yes, Melissa's very excited that she waited till she was 38 to get on video. I think technically you were 37 when we started, so So that's announcement one. And it's a bittersweet announcement, though, because with it comes the transition of producers. Since the dawn of this podcast, this podcast has
I think we started recording episodes in 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from the start, from the very first episode with Vicky Barbalek 4 or 5 years ago, was produced and at the beginning co-hosted with producer Stephen English. Stephen is a friend, a very dear friend, has been, you know, his contribution to this podcast is invaluable.
Unmatched.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I mean, as I told you, this podcast was Stephen and I's podcast kind of before it was our podcast, you know?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a family podcast from the start.
The genesis of this podcast was Stephen and I co-hosting an episode and then are co-hosting at the beginning where we would riff together and Stephen is so funny and so fast and an absolute delight to be with, and then we kind of I would interview another person of interest. I think that's a criminal term,
usually a comic
an entertainer, an author, an actor, actress type, whatever it may be. We would talk to him about family. A little pandemic happened in 2020. We'd also kind of grown weary of guests because there's a lot of guest driven podcasts, and decided, I think what might separate us and what might be more interesting both to us and hopefully the listeners is to be us and kind of talk about our family. And at that point already, we had kind of gotten to the point where Stephen and I would like co-host sometimes over the phone. I was traveling more. Stephen has two young children now. And so we kind of transitioned out of that. And then it was just me doing the things. And then it was just us into its most recent iteration, which is we record an episode and then we send it to Stephen, which we're happy to do. But Stephen and I, full transparency here, not hiding anything. Stephen and I had a conversation about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and I sat down and I said, hey, we have this opportunity to go into this space and someone who can help us with video. And we love having you on this. Would it make sense for us to go with him? Maybe you do the audio still, maybe you do the video. And Stephen very graciously said, listen, I don't want to stand in the way of growth for you guys if it doesn't make sense for you to like double pay. He obviously is very busy in his own right. Stephen also just started, he's getting an MBA, just started grad school. So he's going back to school. And so bad story long, we made the decision that it makes sense to part ways.
Professionally
and personally. Stephen, never text me again.
This creative project.
Is your meme game unmatched? Yes. Are you an incredible texter and make me laugh regularly? Yes. Did I stop doing Wordle because you beat me every day and you were in hard mode and I was on easy mode? Yes, yes, yes. Nevertheless, never text me again. You and I are done. To quote Christian Bale blowing up at a light guy on set, you and I are done professionally. Me and you, buddy, you'll never work together in this town. So it's very bittersweet. I cannot express enough my gratitude to Stephen for his incredible efforts on this podcast.
All his talent and gifts and help.
And I really, Stephen, I can't wait for us to do something creative again together, because I think that you are much more valuable on the mic than behind the mic. And I say that, you know, and you are valuable behind the mic, but you're even better on the mic. And, you know, it's fun doing pods with you.
And once you got that MBA, you know, all that knowledge.
Maybe whatever companies you've run can, I mean, we got Munchie Mug and Dow. Those are contacts from Stephen. Like, I mean, Stephen.
Friends of the pod. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So
thank you, Stephen.
We want to have you on, Stephen.
And Dorothy and the kiddos.
If you guys want to take a time to send an email to us, if it's nice, I'll send it to him. Or if it's rude, I won't send it to him.
Your favorite Stephen moment.
I got a lot of funny favorite Stephen moments. Probably the when we were doing Romano impersonations was one of my favorite Stephen moments. So if none of this comes out on the podcast, then Stephen didn't listen to it. That means he
didn't want us to thank him publicly.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephen.
Yes.
Really appreciate it. Okay, let's dive into some stuff here. So welcome to February, everybody. January is the year-long month. It's somehow over now. It's not technically over right now, but it'll be over by the time that you're listening to this here in the dressing room. we have a few things that we're going to do. We're going to do a weekend recap. We're going to talk about it. We're spending all day at a wrestling tournament. We're going to talk about the importance of youth sports. We're going to talk about Mel being a big winner at Drag Bingo. bingo. I'm going to talk about doing a little bit of yard work, maybe some seventh grade stuff, and a couple emails at the end. So that's the current goal.
All right.
How mm-hmm. much of that mm-hmm. we'll get to? I don't know, because Lord knows I have given some empty promises on where
false
we're
false hope.
Yeah, on where we're gonna go. Let me start by telling you I have lots of upcoming dates, and we've added a few. Before the tour officially starts, I have a warm-up date here in February 8th. That's next week, Denver.
Yep.
Come on out,
next
please.
Wednesday.
Please, Denver. Mm-hmm. Please mm-hmm. come on out. We've moved a few dates, but this is the most up-to-date schedule that I have right now. We are starting off this tour, which we're going to name here shortly, in May in Brea, California. So May 23rd, Brea. May 26th and 27th, Des Moines. June 13th, Chicago. June 14th, Chicago. June 15th, Rosemont, Illinois. June 16th and 17th, San Diego, California.
Woo!
Home game. June 18th, that's Father's Day, LA. First time ever playing in LA. June 21st, Orlando. June 22nd, well, headlining in LA.
Headlining, yep.
June 21st, Orlando. June 22nd, Tampa Bay. June 24th, this is on sale now, Boston. Finally, Boston is on sale.
Boston,
I've been trying to get to Boston forever, playing at the Rockwell. June 28th, the Comedy Zone. You're welcome, Carrie. Finally, going back to Boston. June 28th, Charlotte. June 29th, Raleigh. We're into July. July 1st, North Charleston, South Carolina. July 12th, Liberty. That's Cincinnati. Same idea. July 13th, Columbus. July 14th through 16th, Pittsburgh. July 21st and 22nd, Nashville. That's on sale now. Mm-hmm. July 28th, Atlanta. We're into August. August 18th and 19th, Sacramento. That's on sale. August 23rd, Omaha. That got moved. August 23rd. You can blame the Little Mermaid Jr. for that. We had to move it. August 24th, Milwaukee. August 25th, Minneapolis. August 26th, Tulsa. August 27th, Oklahoma City. That's a run right there, by the way. Omaha, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Tulsa.
Oof.
Don't tell me I'm not going out there for you people.
Oh, this makes me tired.
Yeah, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That is 5 cities in 5 days. It's 4 states in 5 days. So... I think the only one on this. Oh, Tacoma will be on sale soon. There's a couple other. Texas needs to get back to me. Houston's gonna happen. I just, you know, it's people will be like, add this date, and you're like, I'm trying.
Atlanta, right?
Atlanta's on there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, people are like, add this date, and I'm like, I'm trying so hard to add this date, but I don't.
It's not that easy.
It's not that easy.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. Anyways, okay, let's get into it, everybody. Also, Patreon, really fun Zoom hang this last week. We had like 7 or 8 of y'all. What did we talk about Zoom hang? Oh, we were talking all about driver's ed,
teen driving,
teen driving. How you learned how to drive. Demarius learned very young. She was 14 when she
12.
Learned how to 12.
Yes,
she was 12.
Mm-hmm. She was driving her mom around.
She was driving her. Oh, that was one of the funniest stories I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Her mom was such a bad driver that her dad taught her to drive when she was too young to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, hey, you got to drive your mom around, which is pretty funny. Pretty funny and family
she
was stuff.
And she's a great driver. So it worked for them.
So anyways, thanks for hanging out, everybody. If you're not familiar with Patreon, it's just a way to get a little more from the podcast and give a little more. And also, if you are a Patreon, I don't remember what level it is, you can check out the levels.
Yeah.
At any of those shows I just said, you get a free meet and greet. That's a pre-show. We hang out in the green room a little before. We meet and we greet.
We do cameos. We do Zoom hangs monthly.
You get some discounts on merch.
It's fun. It's a good time.
Get some free stuff in the mail.
You get info early.
Mm-hmm.
Videos early.
Yeah, they got that. Yep. Yeah, because I posted, you know, all
behind the scenes content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that video I posted on YouTube this week about me in St. Louis. All those the Patreons, they got those early.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
Are they gonna get the special early? No. They're not,
but
they know when it's coming out.
They know stuff about
it
that is not public.
That's true.
Yep.
They're in the know.
Mm-hmm.
They're our little secret society.
Yes.
The Nightingale.
Nightshades.
Yeah. I finished Wednesday.
Dustin finished Wednesday with Claire.
So my Bingo Dingo review is 4.8. It's great.
Yeah, I did 5 out of 5 for Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday's very good. Mm-hmm. It's very good. It did my 8-year-old spoil a lot of it. So much. So much, including the biggest reveals of all, but still good. Still good.
I kind of half watched the second time with you, and it held up. There's little Easter eggs when you watch it the second time. So kudos to Netflix and Tim Burton and all those famous folks.
They get a bright future, Netflix and Tim Burton. You two stick with it.
You got something here.
You find your way. Let's do a weekend recap. I was not on the road this last weekend.
It was weird.
It was weird. It was stressful. I have multiple canker sores now.
I did not get all the sleep I usually get.
That's true. You sleep less when I'm home.
Well, I got to get up at 6:45 with all these children. And
sorry about our good marriage.
Yeah. I have to catch up on the weekends, except for when there's wrestling tournaments and I have to get up at 5.
Well, the good news for you is I leave tonight. It is Tuesday. I get on a red eye to Boston. There's a direct red eye to Boston from San Diego on Delta. They all go to Boston.
It's a good song. Some snow will be back. I can't even pretend. I'm trying to jump in here. Snow would be nice. Oh yeah, you don't know me, and you don't. Yeah,
you know what's funny is we saw Augustana open for Counting Crows years ago.
Probably so long ago.
Well, I think about Augustana often about me, because I am the opening comic. I am the opening act, and I'm trying to be what Augustana was for us in some way. And then I'm like, that band was great. And if you remember, they had a follow-up in the market.
We are the fans that we are trying to attract.
Exactly.
Which is...
Do you remember where we saw that?
Yes.
At the Crocodile, which I have since headlined. They move venues, but it still counts.
We are like, let's check out the openers. We want to get some, catch someone on the come up.
We were when we were young.
Yeah.
I have not caught an opener in a minute. You and I right now, we catch the end of the opener set.
That's true.
Not
but
for
when
comedy,
we
for
were,
a band.
You know, not even adults.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch a band rise.
It is, yeah. And then inevitably collapse, which is what they did. They had a fallout with the band. I think he's touring.
He's in Nashville. I looked him up recently.
Yeah.
He's got great a family
song.
And
couple
kids.
Couple great
and all
albums.
That. Yeah.
All Stars and Boulevard. There's another one. But
Augustana.
But what I remember about that is, you know, comedians for a minute there, like the name. We all had names for like our punchlines or our character. And we still had names. I have names in the act right now. What names do I got? I've got a Gavin.
Darren.
Right now. I've got Dustin, Justin, Darren, you know, a play on my name. Mm-hmm. I've got Tommy's in the new and the old hour. There's a lot of names in there. Sherry's
Adrian.
In there. So there's some names in there. But bands like cities, they would name cities. Mm-hmm. And Counting Crows names a lot of cities. Raining in Baltimore, Omaha. They've got a lot of cities.
Yes.
Holiday in Spain. That's a country. Them opening for them, their hit song was a city song and referenced Spain specifically. And I was like, it's pretty similar.
Yeah, you know, song lyrics.
There's only so many things to joke about. I told you this new hour that I'm writing right now.
Thematically.
I'm like, I joked with Taylor. I was like, all right, I'm going to really switch it up. So far, the four categories of the new hour are aging, marriage, my kids, and my dad, which is literally the only thing. Every joke that I've ever told on stage has come through the spectrum of aging, marriage, parenting, and my dad. So there you go. That being said, Augustana, Counting Crows. Boston. Oh, okay. So I go on the red eye to Boston tonight. So you get some sleep. I found the crumbs back.
You did.
I did.
I was just catching up. It was hilarious to watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watching the face. And next week, you guys get to watch the face. Because it'll be these. You'll get to see the panic in my eyes
these
where I go.
Idiots.
The dopamine has run out on that trail. And these two idiots have to find their way back.
I do have to say, I'm going to. Yesterday, we had a Zoom doctor's appointment, and you, me, and Claire were sitting in this space.
Oh, this is so funny.
Oh, well, one, we broke a stress ball.
Right.
It went all over the floor.
Never a good sign. Never a good sign when you break the stress ball.
The doctor came on camera. She's like, do you need a minute to vacuum that up? And we're like, no, Claire will just sit crisscross and not touch all the balls on the ground. And then I have like a whole gallon Ziploc now. Mm-hmm. That I keep. It's got every fidget, every mint, every fruit snack.
Uh-huh. It's like we have
therapy putty.
It's like the treasure chest at the dentist office.
Yeah, and we are all playing with it.
That's the thing. We were in
I might have to bring it to the podcast studio.
I mean, honestly. I mean,
is that distracting?
No, if you're... well, because I'm performing on these things, so I get pretty on. But
no, that's true. I usually play with my phone. My phone has like a little device on the back. You know that I play with most of the episodes. So I don't know. Maybe I have to cut that out too.
I don't think you can fidget during the episode. Okay. I think that's visually a little.
I agree with you. I just thought it was so funny.
I thought it
and on brand for us.
Well, I thought it was good. Yeah, when you first introduced them, I'm like, sign me up. Yes, please.
Well, you've always had like the kids' toys on your desk.
Right.
Which, I mean, toys are fidgets and vice versa.
Yeah. So. Well, anyway. You remember I did that podcast with Stephen Hernandez's podcast. And like halfway through the episode, he was like, I hear like some like clicking or something or like some twisting. And Claire had a little ladybug wind-up toy. I'd been going... Uh-huh. The whole, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm literally playing with a toy. I'm a grown man playing with a toy here. So yeah, anyways, it was a different weekend because I didn't even do spots in LA. Last week I did a shoot with Kev on stage.
That's all day Wednesday.
Which was fun. Yeah. Super fun. Always great to be on Kevin's stage in Transit Studios. So fun.
We did four episodes.
Mm-hmm. Kev gave me one of the most genuine laughs I've had for a while. And he commented on how hard I was laughing, like that it was so genuine. Because the game is called That's Cap. And the basic idea of this game is there are contestants and then there are guests, like celebrities, using that in quotes. You'll see that on the video episodes. That like a celebrity panel where they call on us and a thing is read to us and we have to say that's fact or that's cap. So it's true or false.
Right.
And then they have to decide if we're telling the truth, or if we're right or we're wrong. Like I'll say Melissa.
Nile River.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
The longest.
The first man on the moon was Neil Armstrong. Fact or cap? You know, yeah, no, actually it was Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Lightyear. It was Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. And he'd be like, that's cap. And then if you got it, then you get silver or gold. And the goal is to get three in a row, not because it's connect four, but with three.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, so this is like Hollywood Squares. This is, that's what, and Kev goes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. He goes, this is Black Squares. And he goes, you know, like that day on Instagram a few years ago. And I laughed so hard. It was a fun shoot in general. And what I learned is I am a good liar. That's what everyone said. They said, because there were a couple times where people were like, because there were a few answers that I knew. There are a few answers that I had no clue
confidently
of.
Wrong.
And the most thing that happened, there were a couple times where I just straight guessed and was right. And so nobody had any idea. I'm excited for you guys to watch the episodes. One will be free on YouTube and the other will be on Kev on Stage app. There was one answer.
They couldn't read you.
There was one answer where someone goes, I know you are wrong. Like, I know you are wrong, but your lie was so good that now I'm not sure.
So were there eight different contestants?
Three. Yes.
Throughout
there were eight
the
different
episodes?
Contestants.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
But then they were the guests. They were the audience when they weren't on. And so
that's fun.
So I think by the end, they kind of, you know.
They're kind of getting you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was nervous, though. And like,
that's a huge pressure thing, because you told me you didn't have the questions ahead of time.
No.
So that you couldn't prepare.
There's no preparing.
It was improv.
It was pure improv. I was like knee shaking nervous, which I was too when every time I've done a set there, because you're like, this is high pressure. And I felt more comfortable on Corden than I did, you know, in that environment, because you're just like, I'm just riffing.
And it has to be knee jerk.
And everybody is looking at you. Everyone just going like, not jokes I've prepared and done. By the time you do your late night set, that thing's been everywhere. You've done that joke, those jokes a million times. It was fun. Friday, you know, and Saturday, I did like a local spot over the weekend, but I did yard work. We were around.
We had to beat the rain. I mean, we being you. I didn't help this time.
No.
The yard work.
And it's been raining a lot, so it was more just like a normal, just kind of like knockdown. I'm still sore from said yard work, but I did do the yard work.
It got done. Yeah.
A classic Dustin Nickerson line. Is it fixed? It's better. I wouldn't put my weight on it.
It's fine.
And but the big thing that we did is on Saturday, Joel had a wrestling tournament. Now, I've caught several of Joel's matches this year.
So he's got the dual meets, which are just two teams.
Yeah, the dual meets usually I can catch on Thursdays if I haven't left town.
Yeah.
But on, you know, Saturday, I'm never home.
Yeah, and sometimes they're Friday and Saturday.
Right, right.
Depending on the tournaments and bracket.
And, yeah, exactly. And so I knew I had a chance to catch two, maybe three tournaments this year. And this was one of them.
So you didn't fill the weekend. Yeah.
Didn't fill the weekend. And Joel, you know, any parents here, really people really listen in general, you're familiar with the concept of these all-day tournaments, but it's so much different as a participant because you're participating. It's brutal. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Joel.
It's brutal.
Joel had to get up at 5:30 on a Saturday.
He had to be there at 5:30.
He had to be there at 5:30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
at his high school.
No, he had to be there at 5:50. He had to be there at 5:50 because our alarms went off at 5:30. Okay. And he was already awake when I got there and we drove him in. I mean, on a Saturday, that is awful. I'm not awake at that hour unless I'm catching a flight or I'm still awake.
And they have to weigh in and then sit around. Yeah. But it's team bonding and all that too. And they're nervous.
He didn't put up much of a fuss about it. There was the making weight issue, which is a real mama bear thing because there is a cutting weight culture within the bigger wrestling thing. It's not what it used to be, but the higher levels, it does get intense. But the coach was pretty clear, like, listen, you're kind of in between weights. You're probably going to do better if you trim 2 pounds. And, you know, he's going to be on varsity this week because he did, you know, if he does trim a couple pounds, that's just kind of how wrestling goes. I said, they're not asking him to like cut out food. They're just telling him stop eating junk food. And you said, like, that's telling a teenage boy to starve. And I think that's so funny. I think the idea that you are so right. Because as an adult, I'd be like, yeah, just eat some fruit, Dustin. Just eat some fruit. But telling a 15-year-old boy, and we're old and we have self-control. But to tell a 15-year-old boy not to drink soda, eat chips, eat candy.
Cookies.
You're telling him to starve.
Cereal.
He sent you Cravery deals today, right?
Yeah.
He's sending you cookie coupons.
I told him, I was like, Thursday night, you can have cookies, Cravery cookies. No, it's very hard for me because I meal plan and I buy the groceries and he's a big eater. I think teenagers are just always hungry. They can always eat.
Yes, 100%.
You know, and he doesn't pack a lunch. He doesn't want a lunch bag. There's free food at school. He has spending money and off-campus privileges, right?
Right.
So it's just like a bag of chips here and a, you know, whatever here. And Starbucks is across the street from his high school. Like, I had cut up like veggies and fruit. I'm like, take these, you know, you need to eat.
Yes.
And he left a bag of bell peppers in his backpack all weekend.
Which is so funny.
And discovered it Sunday night. And his Chromebook, all his papers, his wrestling equipment, everything smells like bell peppers in his backpack. And so we're dealing with that. And then he put some of the baggies that I'd made in the fridge last night and then did not take them today.
Yeah.
So like there's just, I mean, he's eating a lot of oatmeal. That's good. But he has to plan ahead and prep and pack. And he really only has another week and a half that he has to do this.
Yeah.
And I think this goes into a topic we've been discussing is being able to compete. CIF is, you know, like the county level, the league level here in SoCal. Not a lot of kids get to make CIF. You know, if you think about like a high school varsity soccer team has, I don't know, 15 players, you know?
And
maybe you make CIF, but maybe you don't get put in.
Right?
Because you're not a starter.
Exactly, yeah.
And that means they have a JV team and a novice team and like a PE team, you know, like a rec team. Like there are, so to compete in CIF as a high school athlete is such a privilege.
Yeah, and then hopefully what a master's in state and all that kind of thing.
Or just any of that high level.
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest thing. And we went out and had a couple drinks with Zoltan and Emma. Zoltan Kestis is a comedian and Emma is his fiance.
Yep.
And we were talking about like that just doesn't happen as adults.
No.
No one plans a tournament for you.
No. And your parents don't drop you off and buy your equipment.
I planned a horseshoe tournament for my family.
Yes.
When I was a youth. A few times. And let me tell you, it was not well received.
It was Little League parent battles.
Yes.
All the drama of Little League.
It's a
one-day horseshoe tournament.
You know what?
Recreational activities are hard to come by as an adult.
At the end of that tournament, the guy on the announcement goes, "Hey, I just want to say thanks to all the tournament organizers who made this happen here at the school. And, you know, this is a lot of work. This is like the 17th year and it keeps growing." And I applauded louder than any of the wrestlers. I was like, that is a lot of work.
So much work. Wait, I mean, the when you came in, it's six mats.
Six mats. And that's not even that big compared to some
from
tournaments.
From 9 to 5.
Yeah. And it flows and your kid's up. And that was one of the funniest things is like relying. Joel told me yesterday, he's like, "I kept being wrong on when I was up. I kept not being able to figure it out." And I was like, "Yeah," because there was two times where you told me we had 30 minutes and I walked in 7 minutes later and you were wrestling.
Well, and thankfully he didn't miss a match because that does happen.
That does happen.
Like you have to pay attention. And last year, you know, it was harder. He was a freshman. They would only let you in for your player's match. And then you had to leave again because of COVID. Yeah. And now they have grandstands and or not grandstands. They have stands.
Yeah. They were grand.
So it's just that motivation. Like
no one's planning you a tournament as an adult.
No. Just
but the hardest thing to teach a child, and I've expanded this to not just child. An immature person is perspective. That's the hardest thing to teach somebody is perspective. This won't always last, or yes, this is hard, but it could be worse. And yes, this is hard, but you will get through it because you've gotten through hard things before. And the only thing that teaches you perspective is life and the struggles of life. Mm-hmm. And then having something and then losing it, that ultimately teaches you something. And the reason that we know this about youth sports is because we had youth sports and now we don't. And you're like, "Oh my gosh, you mean to tell me that somebody will have coordinated a workout for me and my friends 5 days a week, and then we get to go like do a tournament at the end?"
Yeah.
And we have matching outfits and we get equipment and when we get there, there's like sunflower seeds and Gatorades waiting for us.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
We were in the parking lot and outside of the gym a lot over those 8 hours with our girls.
Yeah.
And some of the Helix parents showed up with Gatorades and Crustables.
Yes.
Uncrustables.
Yeah.
And there was just like an uproar, you know, of
they
the
were
team
so
was
excited.
So happy.
Yeah.
You know, like it just goes a long way.
Yeah.
It you just, know,
the value. Listen, I think there's obviously a lot that can and can't be said about or has been said about the value of competition and sports and team building, all that stuff. That's all true. And we believe that. We both played sports growing up. All three of our kids play some version of a competitive sport, except Claire, but she might. Well, Kung Fu is not good. I guess maybe eventually it doesn't matter.
It's a self competition. You're trying to gain the skills.
Exactly.
Yourself. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, should she get into soccer? but the more so, I guess our angle at this point is like, enjoy this because this just doesn't the last kind of I mean, there are like adult leagues and stuff, but that's not the same. And you have a job. And
I mean, Claire's trying out for a play. You know, like that's
right.
also a performance and there's tryouts and there's a team element.
Yeah, there should
the
be
cast,
more. Yeah.
You know, so
you can seek these things out later on in life. Listen, if you wanted to be in some adult barbershop quartet, you could do it. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be literally the only other thing you get to do.
Well, this is, I mean, just like middle-aged adults or if you're taking care of parents or taking care of kids or your spouse, like you just don't have a lot of time for hobbies. But you also just can't project that on your kids.
Right.
Like your past success or failing as
well,
in sports.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because it is a delicate thing for a parent, particularly with youth sports, is to
push, but not push too hard.
Yeah, exactly. To be like, I think you should do this. Here's, I guess, if someone were to ask my take, I think it is good to push and encourage and not mandate, but really push hard for your kids to do sports and to be motivated in the sports. I don't think it's important to push that same intensity on their success in the sport. Like, obviously, it's a competitive sport.
You want to see effort.
You want to see effort. Attitude and effort. That's all that we always talk about with them. But if they lose, they'll feel bad. It's that they'll, like,
You don't need to put...
People have bits about that, about getting participation trophies of like, hey, we knew we lost. None of us felt good about this. You know when you lose. You don't need to be hard on your kid because they're hard on themselves. I mean, Joel in particular is very mm-hmm. hard on himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what it looks like when, you know, we kind of console him. And I think early on, I was a little more like, do it, you gotta, you know, like, I was never that too much, but I was like kind of maybe like a tiny bit harder on the winning and losing stuff. Never enough.
No, I think it's just like there's pride there.
Right.
In the parent that's, and you just go like, hey, you know, they're learning the lesson.
They're learning it. Yeah.
They might be learning a bad lesson from you. Right. You know,
like, yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say is like, if your kid got there and they worked hard to get there and they tried their hardest, you're just going to lose sometime. That is a good life lesson that, like, you know, you lose.
Well,
like,
and that's the hard part was, you know, for example, when Joel played baseball and there's so much pressure on the at-bats.
Gosh, yeah.
And if you're really upset, you know, as long as you're not throwing the bat or your helmet, it means you care.
Right.
You know, like, mm-hmm. and so that's like, that's tricky too.
Right.
You know, yeah, there was a parent at that tournament who was just doing a lot of aggressive head shakes.
He had a shirt on that said,
if you can wrestle, you can do anything.
Once you've been a wrestler, the rest of life is easy. And I'm like, no. That is not. I was a wrestler. Life is way harder than wrestling. Well, wrestling is fun. Wrestling is intense. Don't get me wrong. We did some 3-mile runs with bricks in our hands. There were some hard. Yeah. You ever grieved? You ever been depressed? Huh?
Yeah.
You ever been to therapy with a child?
You ever had an anxiety attack?
Yeah. You ever declared bankruptcy?
Lost a loved one?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Life is so much harder than wrestling.
But no, that wrestling.
You ever written a book? That was way harder than wrestling.
No,
you ever get dropped by your agent?
You ever get made fun of on the internet?
Yeah. Oh my God. You ever gotten in an argument with your spouse once? That's way harder than wrestling.
And you go, oh, but wait, all those lessons I learned in wrestling.
Oh my God.
They were harder.
Yeah. You ever had a family member tell you you've put on weight? That'll make you cut.
It's too real.
You ever had a loved one ask for money?
Just wishing to get back on that wrestling mat.
I would kill to wrestle. You ever work for Mark Driscoll? Huh? I got a few more. Anyways, that was what we pointed out. And this is like a bit that I'm going to work on. Well, the funniest thing about the judgmental dad is like, you're like, bro, you are out of shape. Like,
yeah.
You don't look great. You're like, you know, and I'm not even doing on a body shaming thing. I'm saying like, hold yourself to the standard you hold your kid to. Also,
this kid was like prepubescent too. Like,
yeah, he plays too.
You know?
Oh, incredible. Love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
one more thing here, and then we need to do a couple of emails. One, last night, Melissa was a big winner at Drag Bingo.
Yeah.
And that's just a funny sentence to say. Zoltan and I are often, we are, you know, ships passing in the night. We're not home a lot, but it's always good to get together with him and just catch up on road stories and see how everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. And Emma, his fiance, is a delight. And we always like seeing her. So last night we were at, we always go to Normal Heights because for a long time we had a thing called Tuesdays with Zoltan's, where after the show at Lestat's that I hosted and he would run with me, we would oftentimes have a drink and then go get quesadillas. I've since become lactose intolerant, so I don't do the quesadilla, so I'm not hungover from cheese the next day.
Right.
But we go out to Normal Heights.
He actually just like got off the plane and came.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So he was like tired.
Well, Zoltz, and- yeah.
And they're nice. They start late with us because, yeah, you know, we have like little kids.
He's a comedian. They're not doing 9:30. Us any favors. Yeah. We always go to Normal Heights, and then there's a couple bars there, but I always like Sycamore Den, and then there's Rabbit Hole right next to it. Mm-hmm. And then we went in and going into, we started off at...
Rabbit Hole used to be open much later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they close early now.
So I walked by Sycamore, and I was like, poke my head in, and sometimes they have like trivia night, and I was like, this doesn't look like trivia, and I was like, what's going on? And then, you know, someone in drag said it's bingo night, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll go see if that's what my friends want to do. So yeah, we go over, we have a drink at Rabbit Hole, and then we go back to Sycamore Den, and it seems like maybe they're done, or they're gonna do one more round. Bad story long, we're like,
for
you
like
know what,
$4 we played bingo.
Let's not, why not play some bingo?
None of us had played bingo since elementary school.
Yeah,
yeah. I use those dabbers like for art classes.
Yeah,
kids art classes, but I've never used
them. You've never used them for your proper context.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
Zoltz didn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Bingo is it's a fine passive game, actually. It's not a bad bar game.
We thought we wouldn't be able to talk, but it was just enough, you know? One round.
Bingo's not, it's actually a pretty good bar game in the sense that you can kind of listen and, you know, kind of play at the same time.
Well, it's kind of fun too, you know? I just got up really early.
Mel got a bingo. We didn't know what we were playing for.
Yeah.
It was just, we didn't even know that it was drag bingo. We thought it was just bingo. And it was just bingo, but then there would be like, you know, there would be some jokes.
Yeah.
They would say certain numbers. There would be certain jokes.
There was a mic.
This is a family podcast. You get what I'm saying. Drag bingo came to us.
It did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Mel won. And we're like, well, what'd she win? And like, is this going to get our tab covered? Which I knew it wouldn't because there was only 13 people in the bar and they cannot afford to cover this 4-person tab here.
Right.
And so
free popcorn.
You go up and the host says to you, tequila or bourbon?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, Mel's going to take a shot. I didn't see that coming on this Monday night in Normal Heights. But no, the host, how did they admit it?
Yeah, they had squirt guns.
Full of bourbon and tequila.
One of each.
Hopefully, yep. Mm-hmm. Hopefully cleaned. I mean, the liquor is pretty sterile, but...
I've never filled a squirt gun with alcohol.
Yeah, you haven't?
No.
You haven't lived. And then they sprayed that into your mouth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you didn't want to be rude. You're not going to not take it.
I had to play along. Yeah. I had already taken a bingo card and I had won fair and square.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to win again.
Right.
And then they took my card for blackout.
Yeah,
I was out of the game at
that
point.
You were out of the game at that point, yeah.
So,
you know, years ago,
twice winner.
Months ago, where I was like, you know, I'm a Christian that can shotgun a beer. And people related to that. And I think they're going to relate to this too. So you are a Christian who has had a bourbon shot down your throat by a host in drag. At drag bingo.
From a squirt gun. First time for everything.
First and second time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I couldn't believe I was doing it either.
Oh, it was so funny. let's do a few emails here. This is from Steven. This is the source of the Burn That Bridge quote. Hi, Melissa and Dustin. This is from a couple episodes. FYI, the quote, "We'll burn that bridge when we come to it," is in fact a quotation of a line spoken by the Doctor in Doctor Who in an episode from 1981 called Warrior's Gate, Part 1. Best, Stephen Manfred, listening in River Falls, Wisconsin. P.S. I should be there at the Orpheum in Minneapolis for the Wednesday night show with Taylor. Oh, Steven, I hope you were there. That's good to know that "We'll burn that bridge when we come to it" is indeed a thing that people have said. Not a missed one.
Somebody, great writer, wrote that.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you are close, I don't know where River Falls is, but I'm coming to Milwaukee and Minneapolis. You got choices there. I got this one on Twitter, too. I was wrong. Peaky Blinders is not an Irish mob show. It is an English mob show. But I did not pay close enough attention to that because the actor, Cillian Murphy, is Irish.
Ah.
And so I was like...
So he's got like a dialect coach who's teaching him.
Well, I mean, he's incredible. I remember, he's...
No, they all have it.
They all are. Yeah. It's just so funny. anyway, she said, been listening to the pod for over a year now, and every year it's like catching up, or even it's like catching up with my friends. Dustin, I saw you and Taylor when you came to North Charleston and you crushed it. I'll be back there this summer. The police husband with his multiple underpants joke killed me. I was telling you about that. It was lovely to meet you and have you sign my book. Anyways, I'm just a few minutes into this week's episode and I felt the need to email you. You mentioned how you were watching Peaky Blinders and are going to make a joke about it when you're in Ireland in April. You said the show was about an Irish Mob family. Maybe triple check that. As a Peaky Blinders fan myself, I believe the family is from Birmingham in England. That is very true. They eventually might have beef. Cillian Murphy's Irish, but Tommy Shelby is British. Just looking out for you. Hopefully it's not coming across. So those internet people were jumping over you for grammar. Correct. Thank you for both making me laugh every week. I often listen while walking my dog. There we go. And I've had neighbors give me funny looks for literally laughing out loud. Love your authenticity. So relatable. Thank you very much, Caitlin. Caitlin, yep, that is a pure just me being dumb. I tried to come up with a way where I could cover this narrative, but I can't. And when they said like Birmingham, I was like, oh yeah, there's probably a Birmingham in Ireland. I didn't look that up. I know it's not about Alabama. I mean, listen, I'm not that many episodes in. I bet at a certain point, because they do, there was like...
you're going to have bangers and mash?
A lot of them have PTSD, and I'd be like, I got to look up what war that was. So I know what I'm seeing. But again, I'm only a couple episodes in, and I have the whole setting wrong, so I'm way off. But anyways, thank you for the email, Caitlin. I hope to see you in North Charleston this summer at Comedy at the Sparrow. Okay, this one is from Brandon, last one.
All right.
Subject, this is for those new listeners, this is when we were having the hamster, fish,
guinea pig,
turtle debate. I'll tell you the update on this after we
Small pet in the home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey there. Hey, Brandon, how are you? In the middle of 2021, our girls begged to have a fish in their room. My wife and I agreed to it and started that adventure. I help the girls feed the fish when they wake up and when they go to sleep. I change the water every other week. I prep the water with the unnecessary chemicals about 24 hours before. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
About 24 hours before and then let it sit. And that really only takes about 15 minutes. And that includes scrubbing the algae off any of the objects in the tank as needed. Fish are fine. Our male fish is named Daisy, and they're living their best life, probably. The verdict has been fish because they're so low maintenance in comparison. What we have landed on is we have incentivized our children. Claire really wanted this for her birthday. Her birthday is in a few weeks. February 21st?
Yes.
February 21st, but she's like wants to do a theme park day with a friend and have some friends over. And we're like, hey, that would be all that. The fish would be the main thing you got. So what we did is we said, if you do a good job while we're in Europe, we'll get you a fish when we get home. And she goes, okay, good. And I also told the kids that we'd get them a nice pair of shoes if they do a good job while we're gone. And
the teens
and shoes and fish, baby. That's how you get your kids to be good. I don't know where we're going to get grandpa,
we'll see.
But
we'll see.
One more just giant thank you to Steven. We appreciate you so much, Steven, for all your love and work and dedication into the podcast. We love and cherish you, buddy. And thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll see you out on the road, and you will see us next week.
That's
like,
right.
Like, actually see us. Do you get it? Do you get the C?
I do get it.
You won't see us in the dressing room, though. That's creepy. Thanks, everybody.
All right, bye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up level of patrons. So Rachel Wilson, Trey Turner, Nathan and Jennifer Merritt, Adam Bush, Jennifer Ashley Downs, Juliana Smith, Jordan Cohen, Co to Grow, Courtney Ebling, Lori Amos, Dave Cox, Isaac Teron, Farah Journey, Bonnie Galindo, Carrie Teague, Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Damarius Diaz-Stevens, Nicole Carraz, and Tiffany Payne. Thank you so much for your support.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.